This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And on that hotline is our buddy. It's Neil Walker. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just was outside for a little bit enjoying this nice weather. Hopefully you guys aren't getting too much cabin fever in there after a few hours, huh?
Well, I mean, we got some off time coming up here. It kind of feels like the last day of school, if we're being honest here, Neil. We've been throwing stuff out there. We've been having a blast today. And you got your air back? Everything's good there?
Yeah, we were out of power for 48 hours. It was not ideal, but we grinded through it. We had some family in town as well. So there was a lot going on this last week, and, you know, worked Friday through Sunday and still woke up shaking my head this morning how these Buccos couldn't figure out a way to win that series.
Well, that's just it. They lost the game where they had the bullpen game. And I thought, all right, that stinks. But you got Jones, you got Skeens. And Jones was electric and then Skeens electric. And now they've lost two games with Skeens on the mound, where Skeens has given up two runs in 13 combined innings. He's never left a game trailing, Neil. So we know that they need to add. Bob Nutting talked about it. Ben Cherington talked about it. But who in the lineup do you think who is not producing could take a step forward? Because a lot of the improvements are going to have to come internally.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Rowdy turn it around, which has been really good because – I think it's kind of hard not to slot him in the 4-5-6 spot in the order. We've seen Jack move to the bottom of the order, and he's still kind of struggling a little bit. We've seen Connor Joe kind of take a little step back just as far as what he was doing in April and May. And sorry, the dog's barking. To Brian Hayes, I think, you know, the as good as his bat-to-ball skills is we just haven't seen him tap into any power this year. It's been, I think he's got 10 extra base hits and around 200 plate at bats,
oh
225 plate appearances. So that's been kind of glaring. And then you mix in Triolo kind of losing at bats to Nick Gonzalez, which is not necessarily the worst thing. But when you spot start him now, like yesterday, you know, his rhythm and timing looks a little out of whack. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's easy to point at Jack and Hayes and say they obviously Hayes has a little more track record than Jack, but I think it's easy to say if those two really pick it up, then that would be a good thing for the offense, obviously. But more than anything, that like the roster or the lineup construction is the thing that really strikes me. I thought Saturday's lineup was really balanced. I thought that was something. Even though they only scored four runs, they knocked out those three runs in the third inning or whatever that was. And I just thought that the lineup was as balanced as it's been in a while. You had Olivares kind of down there in the 7-8 hole, who makes a lot of contact, and you know, Gonzalez. I think Tellez was sitting in the 4 hole and had a pretty good day. So hopefully that's what the lineup looks like, at least against the right-handers this week. I think we get a righty on the mound, I believe, tonight, and then Lodolo tomorrow, which is going to be a tough matchup. So, but man, we're getting into kind of like must-win series territory, which is not a great place to be, even though there's so many teams bunched up in the NL in the middle.
Well, Neil, that was my question to you about yesterday in the lineup construction. I mean, why can you give us an explanation? Or a possible explanation to why a guy like Gonzalez is not in the lineup in a rubber match game, why McCutchen's not in the lineup in a rubber match game, knowing that these games are so important, just like you said, getting out of crunch time where you need a win, and you have a 25-year-old second baseman that needs rest? Like, is that what we're going with?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been told. So, you know, I know times have certainly changed just as far as how teams are viewing getting guys rest. I know they're really trying to get Jared Triolo going. I know that was probably one reason why Shelty wanted him in there yesterday in lieu of Nick. Triolo, you can bounce him all around the infield if need be. Obviously, second and third has been where he's mostly played. We've seen him at short a tiny bit, and he can play first. But yeah, I mean, I would have loved. And you understand Kutch. I mean, I understand Kutch. He's gonna need days off. I would have loved to have seen him in there, especially like you said, in the rubber match at home on a Sunday. But you know, I know that there's times with him, especially with, you know, his lower body, his knees and ankles and all that, that will catch up to you on a day-to-day basis. But hopefully we see with the Thursday off day too, you know, I don't have an explanation for why Nick Gonzalez would not have been in the lineup other than they're trying to get Jared Triolo going a little bit. But like you mentioned, sometimes that comes with a weakened lineup. And, you know, I think yesterday they felt like Savali wasn't going to throw the way he did. I think that was probably the bigger thing than Jared trying to get Jared going was like, okay, we're going to try to give Kutch a day off. We're going to try to give Nick a day off because you assume that he's going to be in there every game for this whole road trip. And Triolo hadn't taken it a bat, I think, since Tuesday. So I think when they looked at that, they thought that this was the best matchup for him, knowing that he hasn't had a ton of at-bats recently.
Neil Walker here joining us on the Fan Morning Show, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. And Neil, to look at some of the positives, Jared Jones hits a guy in the face with an 100-mile-an-hour fastball, which cannot be easy to recover from, and I don't mean the guy who got hit, I mean for him. And then you get Paul Skenes, first pitch yesterday, gives up a home run. Both guys have great stuff. Both guys have great demeanors. But their ability to bounce back as rookies, that can't be common.
No. Yeah, in Skenes' case yesterday, I mean, he got ambushed. They call that a full-blown ambush right there, first pitch of the game. And you hope that if guy ambushes you, it's just a single. And that obviously wasn't the case. But even in my head, I was like, that's it. That's all they're going to get. They're not going to get to him. And we saw probably more traffic on the bases against Skenes yesterday than we've seen all season in all of his starts. So especially that I think it was the second or the third or fourth inning maybe that he had bases loaded and one out with Paredes, their best hitter up, and was able to induce that the 5-3 double play. I mean, that's textbook stuff. I mean, he executed two sliders right on the outside edge to their best hitter to get a rollover ground ball to end the inning. I mean, you can't say enough about what he's done. Jones, we've seen him kind of go through it a little bit the last four or five starts. I think he's trying to be a little too cute. I think he's run out of gas just a tiny bit, and he will bounce back from that. And I would venture to say they're going to try to get him some extra days like they already have with off days. And now that we have the All-Star break coming up in a few weeks, that'll be a nice little reset for him. But I feel like maybe he's looking at the scoreboard when he's not seeing 98, 99 on the fastball and saying, oh, shoot, like if I'm at 94, 95, I'm going to get whacked, which is not necessarily the case. And that's kind of what's leading to the walks, but also leading to just being in hitters counts more frequently over the last four or five starts for him.
Neil, there's 11 guys in Major League Baseball with batting averages over 300. We did a little study earlier, and we went back to 1998. There were 45 guys, 45 or 46 guys with batting averages at 300 or better. Why do you think that is? Why are batting averages so low? And do you pay attention more nowadays to OPS or batting average?
I would say that across the board, for the most part, there are teams that really value not striking out and putting the ball in play. And I think this Tampa Bay team is kind of one of them, but they don't have guys performing from an average standpoint like some of the more elite hitting teams. But the easy answer is that everybody's chasing OPS. Yes, everybody's chasing slugging. And essentially, a lot of teams are saying, well, if my guy goes 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, but he hits a 2-run home run or has an RBI double, we can live with that. And my brain can't conceptualize that because I was not brought up in that mold from high school to minor leagues to the big leagues. It was, you know, put the ball in play and put the pressure on the defense. Well, that's changed a little bit. So the philosophies, whether you agree with them or don't agree with them, it seems like for the most part across the board, guys are still staying with their somewhat big swing approach, even with two strikes. And when you watch the swings and you watch BP especially, you can really tell in BP what guys are trying to do. And BP used to be like, you know, you get four rounds, you get five, six pitches in each round. And the first round would be like ground balls to the opposite field. And Manny Ramirez, I remember watching him take BP at the end of his career. His first round of BP, I kid you not, he tried to hit balls straight right to in the batting cage. He tried to hit balls, basically, if he's right-handed, he was trying to hit him in the left-handed batter's box. And that was his way of understanding bat control and trying to let the ball get deep and not try to get too far out in front, especially in a controlled environment. And in today's day and age, if you watch most modern big league batting practices, you'll see some guys going opposite field. Aaron Judge, he's probably one of the best BP hitters I've ever seen, because basically he just tries to hit balls out to right center. And that's and he's obviously 6'7", 260 pounds. So you're seeing just way more fly balls. And when you talk about the actual swing, we could talk about that for a long time. I'm sorry for getting long-winded, but the swings are just not as flat as they used to be. The swings are meant to generate power and to lift the ball and see how high and how far we can hit the ball. And if it doesn't work, you hope that a strikeout is at a time where it's not going to affect the game monumentally.
Man. Mm. Neil, that's a great synopsis.
That's really
man.
Good. Really good.
We appreciate you coming on, buddy. Mm-hmm. We can do this forever, man. Thank you.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you guys. Certainly enjoy the nice weather we have today after a hot week last week, and always love talking to you guys.
You too, buddy.
You're the man.
We'll talk to you next week. All right. Is Neil Walker.